Good morning, afternoon, evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to the Pitter Patter Podcast with Eric and Jed. I'm Eric.
And I'm Jed.
This is a place for two overthinkers.
Oh, that's what I said. My bad. Whoops, I got excited. This is a place for two overthinkers to get their ideas out, knock them around, and hopefully figure out what to do with them. Thanks for bailing me out on that one, Waste.
That sounds like a pretty cool podcast, Jed.
It's pretty lit when I remember what I have to say. But sometimes I forget.
So right before this podcast, we were talking a little bit about temperament.
And aardvarks.
And aardvarks.
More just temperament.
I've been actually thinking about this recently because I'm... One of the things, when anyone's ever driving with me, one of the... Especially strangers. The thing that they always comment about is how little I road rage. Like, someone will be cutting me off or, like, someone will, like, be parked at the green light and taking their time, and I'm just sort of like humming a little tune or like, it's your turn to go, dude. And then like they move and I just don't care.
You're not a road rage-o-matic.
No, I just, it's very, or like we were at a gas station earlier and everyone was like going the wrong way into the, you know, stations, and everyone was like getting trapped and all this stuff, and I was like, this is not worth stressing about. But it seems like a lot of other people get very frustrated.
Yeah. I get incredibly frustrated. I'm the yell and scream, like I flip people off on occasion. Not a lot, but on occasion. I get angry. I get intense. I get heated.
Okay, so in the spectrum of emotions, what would you say? Would you say you hit like 10 being crazy, intense, rage, hot, like high, happy, you know, all that stuff?
Right.
One being like extremely sad, the pits of despair, all the stuff.
Right.
Where do you think, like, in a month, you would see fluctuations?
That's a good question, and that's a good way of phrasing it. I would say I tend to err more on the side of being sad than I do to err on the side of being angry.
Okay.
Like, I tend to be sad more than I am angry more.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
And then in terms of, like, the spectrum, like, how much it could fluctuate, like, could you... Like, okay, for instance, what I have noticed about myself and what my family has noticed about me is that I'm decently mellow.
Pretty mellow guy.
And so a lot of times I really don't get stressed about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like tests or like someone's maybe like a deadline or I might be late or, you know, it's all in that like 4 to 7 range.
So you just stay kind of in the middle. Like you don't find that you feel the extremity of emotions.
That's why I notice very sharply when I do hit those like 10s or 1s because it feels so different.
Okay, so I misinterpreted your question. Okay, gotcha. So, all right. Yeah, I would say that I get to, like, you know, 1 being depths of despair, 10 being, you know, blowing a gasket, you know, kicking puppies.
Or happy, super happy, too.
Yeah, or you could do the
like, I'm high on life, ecstatic, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
So you could be, like, your letters on that scale. Like, do you ever get to a Z? No, never mind. I tried to make a metaphor with, like, letters and numbers, and it just didn't work, and it failed, and I'm sorry. But, yeah, I find that I will have those kind of emotional peaks with some regularity. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely like a baseline that I return to, but I think the thing that will drive me to those emotional peaks are things that are either stressful or sort of outside my typical routine. So like work. A great example is at work the other night, Saturday night, I experienced like those peaks in everything. Like,
right.
there was a time where I was like killing it and doing really well, and I was like stoked and I was like making money. There was a point where I was just like depressed because I was like tired and like over it. And then there was a point where I was just like rip roaring mad because everybody was like being really annoying, and it was Saturday night and everybody was drunk and it was a pain in the ass. So like work is a great example where like all of those extremes kind of like hit at once.
Right.
Whereas like when I'm, you know, at my house, like painting, like sometimes I'll be like, oh, that's, this painting is awesome. Or I'll be like, oh, I'm a little bummed out today, but it won't be like, you know, the, you crazy. Know, high highs, low lows.
Gotcha. Kind of thing. Cause a lot of people, there have been people that I talk to and they're like, I could hit a 1 or a 10 in the same day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you are quite like, 1 is like really low.
Yeah.
And 10 is very high, but,
There were times in my life where I kind of got to that point.
Right.
But those tended to be, you know, times when emotional stimuli tended to be a lot more intense.
Right.
I feel like I've kind of, like, mellowed out a little bit.
I think usually it takes, the stakes have to be high and the stimuli have to be,
like,
high frequency compounding.
Right.
Like, one of the most stressful things that I had happening was when I was got lost on my way to my last cross country meet.
Hmm.
And I left early because I thought, you know, I left early. So I thought I was fine. But then I was not fine. I got lost in the mountains, no reception. I tried calling my mom for Google Maps, and she's like, I'm in choir. Bye. And I was like, ah.
Thanks, Mom.
And so I was like going in the hills, like asking for directions, all this stuff. And then for hours. And it was in Hayward. Like, it's not
you're
hard.
You're making it like sound out. That you like wound up
I went
in, like,
way
Nevada.
Past Hayward was the problem.
Oh, okay. Those hills can be confusing.
Right. Yeah. And
yeah, I'm just picturing like you and like Reno.
Yeah.
You know, being like, oh
no,
my God.
It was Hayward. And I finally made it back to Hayward. And the thing that really stressed, well, I was already stressed out because it was like a race, you know, like I had to run. I had to be there. And then, but what really made it stressful was right before, I had asked several people along this epic journey for directions. And I was like getting sort of close. I knew.
Right.
At this time, my phone did not have Google Maps, so it was very stressful. And I was like, I'm going to pull in a gas station so I don't wander for the last 15 minutes. I can just like, someone can just point me to the direction of Hayward High School. And so I pull in the gas station at the very last second. I'm like, should I stop in this station? Like, to fill up gas, if I'm not actually getting gas? And so at the last second, I, like, skirted into a parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
But I was driving a car that was way bigger than I was used to. So I scrape the car next to me, and I don't register that, like, I was like, that was a weird sound. And I drive a little further, and it's like,
oh, yeah.
And I look to my right, and there's the lady in the car.
Oh man, that is brutal.
Looks at me and she's like, oh my gosh, what did you just do? And I was at, so that was probably one of the most stressful things of my entire life, because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, blah, blah. And we couldn't separate the cars because of how I
had like
rammed them in.
Yeah.
I couldn't separate the cars without them scraping more.
Right.
And what was even more frustrating was the lady was like, oh yeah, Hayward High School, that's like 2 blocks that way. And I was like,
the lady whose car that you destroyed.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh my gosh. I should not have stopped for directions.
Right.
And I was like, I am so sorry. I want to make this right, but I sort of have a race in like 20 minutes. I really need to get to. Can we please separate the cars? It's very stressful. I get there and my coach was like, I mean,
what the hell?
I was stressed out of my mind at this point. And my coach was like, where were you? And I was like, I'm sorry, you sort of had this car thing. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah. She's like, all right, just get on the field. I ran the fastest I've ever run in my entire life. Wow. That day.
Yeah.
It was like a record by a ridiculous amount. Okay, for cross country, it's slow.
Yeah.
But for me, it was like insanely fast to run 2 miles in 14 minutes or whatever. And I was just like...
just killing it.
Getting all this like emotional energy out. And yeah, that was one of the stressful days. So that's an example.
Yeah,
my temperament does spike when there's actually some stakes and the situation keeps building.
And it's amazing too. Like the thing that I've noticed that's just kind of interesting is like there are certain things that will like activate that emotional stimuli that are in the grand scheme completely innocuous.
So that's true.
So I have two things that I just thought of while you were talking about your story. So the first thing is just sort of general, but like I like technology. I will get insanely angry over technology not doing what it's supposed to. Like if something's not working, like if the Wi-Fi is slow, oh my
god. Why? Everyone hates
God.
I
but it,
hate slow Wi-Fi.
I mean, I think everybody does. Like I don't think I'm alone. But it just drives me up the wall.
Yeah.
You know, then like other just like little things. Me, Zach, my older brother, is like that too. Like he gets so pissed. Just over like the slightest thing like not working. Like if it doesn't work, like his whole like he just like flips. Like it's crazy. The other slightly tangential thought that dawned on me, ladies and gentlemen, I have a confession to make.
What?
This is also kind of meta because Rhett and Link just posted a video on Good Mythical Morning about confessions, and they did the whole clickbaity thing where it's like a picture of Rhett.
I saw that. I clicked it, and I saw that it wasn't.
It was like a game.
I clicked out.
Yeah. Well, I watched the episode. It's funny, but this is a confession, and it has to do with the story of it's similar to what happened to you. So I used to drive a truck.
Okay.
For a gentleman in Petaluma.
Okay.
And he owned a produce farm in Thermal, California. Which is probably like 30 or 40 minutes outside.
The city's name is Thermal?
Thermal, T-H-E-R-M-A-L. They are huge growers of dates.
And it must be warmer.
It's hot. It's like 30 or 40 minutes outside of Palm Desert.
Okay.
So it's hot as balls out there.
Okay.
And I used to drive a truck between Thermal, California and San Francisco. And then from San Francisco, I would drive to Petaluma. Which is where he...
When was this? I do not...
This is when I was probably like 16 or 17 years old.
I did not know that. Before or after the motorcycle trip?
After. So I would have been older. So I was like 17 or 18. Somewhere
older.
I don't remember exactly.
Those are like the mystery years for Jed.
Just all the experiences sort of just fell into this like black hole.
Yeah.
So I drove this truck and... For those of you who don't know, the distance between Thermal, California and San Francisco is vast. And I was driving a truck that could drive no faster than 65 miles an hour.
That's slow.
So, give or take about 10 hours each way. And it sucked. And it was horrible.
Podcast it up or something?
I podcasted it. I audiobooked it. I drank more Red Bulls in those 3 weeks that I had that job than probably I have drank collectively in the rest of my life. To put things in perspective. Because you got to give credit to truck drivers. These dudes are saints. But it ties into your story. Because second or third trip I ever did this, there's a depot where you drive produce. So this guy owned a farm. The farm was in Thermal, so I'd pick up vegetables. And they would put the vegetables in the truck. And then I would drive them to San Francisco to the terminal where people would... Where I would sell the vegetables.
You personally are selling the vegetables.
I mean, I'm not like, hey, this box of chard is $40. Like, no, everything was like set up beforehand. Okay. So I was just the guy
imagining.
Yeah, I mean, like, yo, I got all these apples. Like, no. No, and it was all the prices were preset. So I literally just had to drive there. There was like a form that had all the prices written out. And I just needed to get the guy to sign. And then their crew would unload the truck. So, I'm in the terminal. in San Francisco. It's busy. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of people. It's like 11 o'clock at night. I am tired. I've been driving all day. I've drank an ungodly number of Red Bulls. And I'm crashing hard. And I'm going around the loop. Because it's this big loop. It's this huge depot. And I couldn't find a place to park. So I'm just cruising around the loop. And then I make a turn, but I'm driving a truck that's 25 feet long. So I'm not really thinking about, you know, I'm not really thinking about spatial awareness at the time because, you know, I was driving, I was tired, and I hear the
yikes.
So my bumper, and on a truck, the bumper is a big, heavy-duty, gnarly-ass piece of metal.
Yeah.
It's no joke. Bumpers on trucks. Had caught the bumper of a Mercedes-Benz.
Hey.
Brand new Mercedes-Benz. And it had picked it up in the air. Probably like 4 or 5 feet. The back wheels, like the back end of the Mercedes was like three or four feet probably off the ground.
Okay.
So the car was like, you know, tilted forward and the wheels were up, back wheels were up in the air. There's nobody in the car, thank God. And I saw that and I went, shit.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been a time in my life where like shit was as applicable as it was then. And I pop the truck in reverse and the car goes boom, falls down. And I,
you booked it?
Sped away.
Yikes.
And, ladies and gentlemen, I've finally gotten that off my chest.
That is terrible. Oh my God.
After 6 years, I couldn't handle it. I couldn't hang.
I
quit that job shortly thereafter.
That's pretty bad, Jed.
Dog, so after that, I was kind of like circling, because I still had to do the thing. I was circling around. I see this big pack of security guards like walking around like, who done it? Scared. So talk about extremities of like the stakes being high, to circle back to our initial point.
That's pretty bad, Jed.
Stakes
that
being high.
That is definitely a confession. That's emotional, legit confession.
Yeah, I feel as though this is cathartic. You know, and talk about emotional stakes being high, the circumstances being just right to feel like that. That was one of the times where I have not felt worse than that many times in my life. Many other times in my life. I mean, that's easily in the top five.
I had no idea about that story, Jed.
Most
I've known
people
you for a really long time.
Most people don't.
Now you are publicly sharing.
Yeah. Security at San Francisco Produce Depot, come at me, bro. I'm sorry if that was your car, man.
When what? That was like six or
seven. That was, yeah, I mean, probably 6 or 7 years ago. Yeah. Hopefully
it didn't run.
Literally. It was like hit, lift off the ground, drop back onto the ground, and then run.
That's pretty stressful.
Yeah, no, that was a dark time. A dark time in my life. Yeah, that I'd say that's up there with like, you know, highest emotional stakes.
That's pretty bad. That's giving, or like when someone walks in, that and when someone walks in on you on the bathroom.
When you're taking a dump?
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
No, honestly, yeah. I mean, it's that initial moment.
It's gotten, though, to the point where, so when I was like really little, I would be so embarrassed.
Right.
Now it's like, I'm sorry, dude. Like,
yeah, no, exactly. Like,
I feel bad for you.
You know, you have to laugh it off. Like, no, it happened one time. I was at a gas station and I was taking a dump. And it was one of, you know, so many gas station bathrooms are super janky, so the locks didn't work.
Yeah.
So this dude just like, bam, like busted in. And I was like, I was taking a dump. I was like on my phone. I was like looking at my Instagram or something like that. And I just looked up and I was like, what's up, man? And he was like, ugh. They just left. But yeah, I feel like that one, when you're a kid, you're totally right. You know, super gnarly, super intense. But then as an adult, you just kind of have to learn.
It's sort of funny.
Yeah. No, you just got to roll with it.
Yeah. I don't know. Would you... I wouldn't say... Yeah, I guess you are a little bit more... Excitable.
I'd say so. Yeah, I'd say overall, like, if you just had to compare and contrast you and I would say that I tend to be more volatile on the emotional spectrum.
Yeah.
I'm definitely... I feel like I'm more expressive.
Yeah.
I'm pretty expressive. I mean, and I've gotten...
It It has to be specific things to really set me. I have to be in the zone.
Right.
To be pretty expressive. That's why some of the vlogs are very exhaustive. It's like I'm giving a speech.
Yeah, totally. And well, and you're trying
I'm
to establish.
I'm definitely projecting a little bit more than I normally do, and it's this whole thing.
Yeah.
But in for the most part, my temperament is pretty mellow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so for me, like with people specifically, like if I'm, like I would think of myself as being very non-confrontational. Like when I'm face to face with someone, I don't really do conflict much.
Really?
Not really. I've gotten way better at like speaking my mind. If somebody's like doing something to me, or like if I find myself in a situation where someone's being like seriously uncool, honestly, being a security guard in a nightclub, you kind of like have to do that.
Right.
You can't be like a non-confrontational pushover if you're a security guard. Like right. That's just not how that works. So I definitely kind of honed that skill a little bit. But I'd say overall, just as like a baseline, I would think of myself as being pretty non-confrontational.
I think I'm pretty, I don't know about confrontational, like security guard, like, hey, what are you doing?
That's literally all I said.
But I think like in an argument or in like, I need to go to uncomfortable territory to like figure this out or talk about this, I'm like super willing to go there.
Right.
My dad has actually talked about that. Like a lot of times when we get in fights, I'm willing to like sort of like square up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
square up.
Why are you doing that? Like, this isn't that intense. You know, like you're making this. Whereas, I don't know. Sometimes I just like, I'm fine going because I feel so like, a lot of times it's honestly ideas that get me more hyped than circumstances. That's actually a pretty good way to put it. Like, if there's something that's not in my control, you know, like, oh no, the bowl shattered or something like that. It's like, oh well. Like,
yeah, bummer.
I don't really react at that. But yeah. If it's like the injustice of this, or like, why the heck is this person doing that? Or like, this is very frustrating. Or like, I'm stuck. Or, oh, like when I have to pick glasses.
You that, get angry about picking
that glasses? That stresses me out. So it's one of my least favorite activities.
Really?
Picking what glasses.
Picking frame. Like your frames.
Because the idea of it drives me nuts. I'm like, this looks bad. This looks worse. This looks even worse. Wait, was that first one good? And then I'm like, I have to sit with this. This is going to be on my face for the next 2 years.
People be looking at
that, like, anxiety. It's not that, like, in my headness is my worst enemy when I'm really? Picking glasses.
Picking glasses. That's so
but if it's, like, picking a restaurant or something, I really don't care. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's go to Japanese food. Or, you know, like, let's, you know, who cares?
Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like the restaurant issue specifically, like, it's like a sleeper thing that, like, ruins relationships. I mean, obviously, that's a little hyperbolic, but it's like, where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? It's just it's the breeding ground for all, like, sorts of passive aggressiveness and stuff like that. But I would agree, like, with the restaurant thing, yeah.
It is totally.
Like, people make it a really big deal.
Especially in relationships.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I don't know.
Like, it's like, don't we always go this place. Yeah. That's why I've sort of made it a point, like.
Just to be like.
Yeah, I'm going to be the guy who's like, let's go to blah.
Yeah, and then people shoot it down.
And then you're like, all right, whatever. Well, let's go here. Yeah. Like, stir the con instead of like, I'm fine. I'm fine with anything.
I'm fine, but I'm really not fine. Yeah.
No, I'm fine with everything except for Mexican.
Yeah, except for Mexican and Chinese and burgers.
Fine with everything, except it has to be Mexican.
The only restaurant that I have a vehement issue with is Tender Greens.
Tender Greens.
It's the like new like hipster. It's like Chipotle for healthy food. Basically.
Is it like the
like you don't construct your own plate as you go, but it's like, you know, salads and chicken and fish and
okay.
I hate the idea of Tender Greens. It drives me nuts. And everybody's like, oh, let's go to Tender Greens, and I'm like, I hate everything about Tender Greens. So the thing to get off Tender Greens. The thing that sets me off, my seemingly innocuous emotional trigger, is standing in line.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this the other day.
Oh, my God. So your boy, in case you haven't noticed, slash you haven't met me in person, I'm a large human being. I take up a significant amount of space. And I like my space around me.
To be clear of people.
I don't like it. So when I stand in line, for some reason, every time, I try, granted, I don't always do a good job, but I try to give the person in front of me in line, you know, a good stride and a half, two strides. Space. I don't want to get up in their business.
Okay.
The person behind me, if they're in line, and the person behind me, for some reason, always needs to stand right behind me. breathing on my neck. Well, I mean, they're usually shorter than me. So, breathing on the small of my back. And it drives me, disclaimer about to swear, fucking insane. I
can
hate
tell.
It.
You're getting hyped right
I'm
now.
I'm getting angry as we speak. It's stressful, y'all. I feel like I've dropped so many bombs in this podcast. I'm just burying my soul.
It's been a little bit. Yeah, confessing a crime.
Confessing what could be interpreted as a crime, and becoming very emotionally invested about how close people stand to me in line. Yeah. I hate it. It drives me nuts. Stay out of my bubble, y'all. Even though if you want to come talk to me, that's totally fine, because I want to talk to you and I want to hear about your life and stuff like that. But just don't stand super close to me in line. It makes me sad.
And I don't think I've had that problem. I turn sideways and I disappear by accident.
Yeah, that's true.
Dilemma.
And maybe that's it. Maybe it's because you're a skinnier fella. You don't worry about having your space. Whereas me, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always more space to go to. If someone walks behind me, I just take a step forward.
Yeah, because even on planes is an issue too.
That is a little stressful.
Yeah, and I always get a middle seat for some reason, and I'm like, y'all, this is dumb. don't put the big guy in the middle seat. But I always went, that's not as bad, because I think there's an element of just you got to do it. You know, if you find a seat, you're gonna sit there. So with planes, it's not as bad. But yeah,
this is definitely tangential. This whole thing is very
tangential. But I think at the end of the day, if we circle back to just the idea, brief reiteration,
temperament,
what are the things that set you off? Not hey, your dog died, are you sad about that? Well, duh. But the more I feel we're talking more specifically about the weird unconventional things that would access that emotional angst / me destroying Mercedes,
right? Separate from that line of thought, in the love languages thing,
which I don't remember all of them. It's physical touch, gift.
Is physical touch not one of your?
So that's interesting, because there's certain times where touchiness is totally fine to me. Right. I grew up in a, my mom's Sicilian. They're very touchy, very physical people.
Sure.
They would family gatherings, you'd always have an aunt that would grab your cheek. They would grab your face.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, I haven't seen you in so long. I'm like, why are you grabbing my face? But overall, that's never been an issue. Strangers bumping into me, strangers touching me.
Yeah, that's not really physical touch.
I'm not into that. But yeah, but if it's somebody that I like or somebody that I care about, knock yourself out, player.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was curious.
Touch my body.
Out of the five, I think there are.
It's physical touch, gift giving, words of affirmation,
acts of service, and
bicycles. Probably not.
Quality time,
not bicycles.
What would be your top two out of those for giving?
Over giving, expressing love towards someone else as opposed to receiving love from someone else.
Yeah.
Definitely not. It's not gift giving. It's not physical touch.
It's probably quality time.
Quality time, I'd say. Yeah. Quality time. And then words of affirmation is definitely something that I've tried to focus more on recently.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of an unsung thing.
Yeah.
you know, a lot of people, it's like really dope to like hear from someone like, hey, you're doing a good job.
But the thing is, actually, there's a lot of people that make words of affirmation make them feel really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
I love words of affirmation. Yeah.
No, I was real. So that night at work where I was talking, like where I was just literally experienced like everything, you know, I was like angry, sad, frustrated, happy, like the whole gambit. What kind of pulled me out at the end, I was just super bummed out at the end of the night at work. And the thing that kind of like pulled me out of it and sort of centered, helped me kind of get centered before the shift ended was my manager was like, hey, it looked like it was really hard for you today. Like, you know, you're doing a good job. And I was like, whew.
That's really nice.
I thought you were out to get me, man. But like, no, it was really nice. And that like kind of helped me pull through.
It definitely, yeah.
What are yours?
It helps me.
Like when you're giving.
So mine are pretty much the... So wait, going back to you. Like,
oh, yeah.
For... you said which ones you... Yeah.
You like giving.
Receiving.
Yeah, I'd say like... receiving, like words of affirmation is really big. And then... I don't know. I guess I'd have to think about that more.
For me, it's the same. It's words of affirmation and quality time are both what I give and receive. As I've gotten older, physical touch is probably like close third, which is pretty unexpected, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely quality time. Like someone, I mean, yeah, it's like so obvious in my habits. I'm like all about quality time. And like, if I do something for someone, it's like I'll write a little letter or like I'll say something nice. It's definitely not like I'll do your laundry for you, you know, like,
or yeah.
Like, but some people that like,
yeah, that's kind of their deal.
That is, and that's super awesome.
Yeah, no, I feel like in a future episode we could definitely like get more into that because yeah, I think there's definitely more thought that I could pour in.
It's interesting, like, how much, yeah, it's like, well, I like all of those. I like being taken care of. I like, you know, hugs. I like whatever. But, like, if you actually think about it, most people have, like, certain ones where it really does strongly affect either their mood or, like, it's really how they show love. It's interesting how on point it is.
Well, yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, look out for the 4/5 loves part 2.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it'll probably come up. But it's that and Myers-Briggs always sort of come up in my...
That's true. We haven't talked about our Myers-Briggs either. So you have many things to look forward to. Also, I will talk about how I have 7 toes on my left foot. Boom!
That is not true.
That's absolutely not true, but... It got you guys listening. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. It has been an utmost pleasure to bring you this audio gold to your ears. You are a wonderful audience, and we appreciate each and every one of you who tune in.
We'll see you guys next Tuesday.
You're the best.
Bye.
Peace.